Today's daf is Pei Vav. We're going to start at the mission at the bottom of Pei Hei Amabet. Today's shiur is sponsored Le'iloi Nishmat Yisrael Naftali Ben Kela VeYehuda. Okay, starting from the Mishnah. Ve'elu im alu yardu. Okay, where again, we're having a list of if they were put on the Mizbeach, these are the following items are to be taken off. Basar kodshei kodashim, u'basar kodshim kalim. Okay, here we're talking not about the basar of the Ola, which gets burnt. But these are items that, like the asham and the chatat, which don't get burned, and a bunch of other korbanot, which don't get burned on the Mizbeach, but their meat is, and we're going to see almost all of these items, are permitted to the Kohanim to eat. So they're not supposed to be burned, they're not meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach, and if they're burnt on the Mizbeach, we take them off. So the basar kodshi kodshim, u'basar kodshim kalim, which is, this is the one that's the exception, it's meant for everybody to eat, can be eaten by anybody. U'motar ha'omer, this is you take a kmitza of the omer, and then you burn that on the mizbeach, and whatever's left goes to the kohen. U'shteh lechem, that's the special sacrifice for Shavuot, and that's also for the kohen to eat, the bread. Ulechem hapanim, which is the bread, the show bread that every week gets changed, and the kohanim eat the bread that was from the week before. Ushayarei minachot, this is after you do the kmitza and the mincha, so whatever's left goes to, again, the kohanim. Vakchoret, and the incense, this is also an exception, this doesn't get eaten by the kohanim, obviously. This gets burned on the inner mizbeach, so if it was put on the outer mizbeach, you have to take it off because that's not its place. Now we have a second category of items.
Sorry, are we talking about if they get put there or if the burning actually starts, you need to stop the burning? Like at what degree of taking them off are we talking about?
I think at any stage if they go on. That's my assumption. We're talking about at any stage if these go on the mizbeach, then they're to be taken off. That's my understanding.
It doesn't matter much. I was just trying to picture if they had started burning it already, and then they did.
Right.
They did, started burning.
Right. I think I would assume it's either way.
Whatever they figured out.
Okay. Hatzemer shebirashei kvasim. Now we're going to talk about parts of the body that are not exactly part of the meat, or right. Anyway, the wool on the head of the keves, which gets burned. That's the head of the keves gets burned. So the wool that's on it, that's attached. The se'ar shebezakan tayashim, okay, the hair that's on the beard of the goat. Ha'atzamot, the bones. Hagidim, the sinews. Hakarnayim, the horns. And hatzlafim, the hooves. Bizman shehem mechubarim ya'alu. If they're attached to the animal, then they go up on the mizbeach along with the animal. Shene'amar, the k'tira kohen et hakol. It says the kohen is supposed to offer up everything. This is in the Korban Olah. So these parts of the body that get offered up, right, that are attached to the body, you don't have to start, let's say, removing all the hair and the, right, that's not the bones, the sinews, all that stuff stays on.
It actually says that they translate it as sinews, but what they really mean is basically everything, blood vessels, tendons, membranes, ligaments, anything that still happens to
anything,
be attached.
Right, so okay, so it's a broader, that makes sense. Pirshu, but if they separated from the animal, lo ya'alu, then they don't go up on the mizbeach. Shene'amar va'asita olotecha habasar v'hadam. Okay, because it says, now on the one hand, this is this pasuk v'yiktira kohen et hakol, he has to burn everything. But then it says, va'asita olotecha, your olot should be the basar and the dam, which means that the other parts aren't really part of the olot, and therefore, if they were already separated, then you don't bring them up on the mizbeach. Now, there's big machlok at Rashi and Tosfot about whether when this says, Pirshu lo ya'alu. Does this mean, and even if they made it to the top of the mizbeach, and here goes your question from before about what about the burning? Let's say they made it up to the mizbeach, and at the top of the mizbeach, they separated. Okay, the hoof fell off the animal. Would you have to take it down, or since it already went up, so it stays up? And what the Mishnah was talking about, pirshu lo ya'alu means, if it's separated down below, then it doesn't have to go up to the mizbeach. But once it's already on the mizbeach, then you can burn it with it. Okay? Or do we say, no. Pirshu lo ya'alu means also, and if it separates up on top, then you're due. We take it down. Okay? So there's a big debate about how to understand this. So now the Gemara starts off. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay? Breita. V'iktira kohen et hakol ha-mizbecha. This is basically going to be a braita that says what we said in our Mishnah for this, the beginning anyway. V'iktira kohen et hakol ha-mizbecha, except there's going to be one difference depending on whether you go with which interpretation that I just mentioned. Lirabot ha-atzamot v'hagidim v'akarnayim v'atzlafim. Okay, v'iktira kohen includes, right, this is a classic midrash halacha where it starts off with the pasuk as opposed to our Mishnah, which started off with the halacha and then connected it back to the pasuk. But here, right, and often the Mishnah don't even connect it to the Pesukim. Our Mishnah at least did connect it to the Pesukim. Here we start off with the Pesuk. It says, you're maktir everything, which seems to include Atzamoki, Dim, Karnayim, Utlafim. Yahol afilu pershu, you might say, even if they separated, Tamud lamar, basita olotecha, habasar v'hadam. So that teaches, not if they separated. I basar v'dam, if it says basar v'dam here, Yachol yachlotz gidim ba'atzamot v'yale basar l'gabe mizbech. You might have thought you're supposed to remove all the gidim and atzamot and the tzlafim, obviously, and the karnaim, and then put the meat on the mizbech. Tamud lamar v'yiktira kohen et hakol. So, right, we're going full circle. Well, it doesn't mean you have to take them off because it says yiktira kohen et hakol. So, ha-ketzad. So, how does this work out, these two psukim, which seem to contradict? Mechubarim ya'alu. Okay, if they're attached, then they go up on the Mizbech. Pershu, and here we get what we didn't say so in our Mishnah, which led to Machloka Rashi Tosfot, what exactly our Mishnah means. But here it says explicitly, Afilu heim b'rosh ha-Mizbech yirdu. Okay, even if they're at the top of the Mizbech, and they separate, they have to come down. Okay, so according to Rashi, this is exactly what our Mishnah was talking about. According to Tosfot, no, our Mishnah only meant lo ya'alu if they were at the bottom of the Mizbech. But if they were already at the top, they would stay on. Okay? And the Braita then has a different interpretation. Now this affects how you read this next line. Man tana de shamat le de amar pershu yerdu. Who's the tana who says that if they separated, they have to come down? Now, this might be only the Braita, because according to, right, the Mishnah, our Mishnah didn't say pershu yerdu. It said pershu lo ya'alu. Right, yirdu means it's already at the top of the Mizbech. According to Rashi, this would be our Mishnah also, and we're trying to say who's the author of our Mishnah. According to Tosfot, it's only who's the author of the Braita. Okay, it's only referring to the Braita. In which case, we're going to see that we're going to have a machloka, Tanakama Rebbe. According to one interpretation, Rebbe's going to match the Braita and our Mishnah, because really the Braita is saying the same thing as our Mishnah. According to the other interpretation, Tanakama is going to match our Mishnah, and Rebbe's going to match the Braita. So, these are just, if it's too complicated, you could just stick with, you know, there's just basically two ways to understand that last line of the Mishnah about whether pershu means only at the bottom or even at the top. So the Braita clearly says, even if they're at the top, you actually have, you know, you're due. You bring them down. So who's the Tana? Man Tana de Shamat Le Damar Pershu Yerdu. Rebbe, it's Rebbe who says this. De Tanya, V'iktir HaKohen Et HaKol HaMizbecha. Okay, Rebbe says now we're starting with Tanakama. The pasuk says, "V'iktira kohen et hakol ha-mizbecha, lirabot ha-atzamot v'hagidim v'akarnayim v'atzlafim, afilu pershu." Here it says, right, even if they've separated. Ve'el amani mekayem v'asita olotecha basar v'hadam. Okay, right, that seems to indicate that if they separated, they still go on the mizbeach. Okay, we can assume it's possible it's talking only if they're already on the Mizbeach, then they stay on. Ela, ma'ani mekayem, ba'asita olotecha, basar v'adam. So what do we do with that? Oh, that comes to teach us something different. Lomar lecha, ikule ola atamachzir, v'i atamachzir ikule gidim va'atzamot. If you have meat or blood from the, really here we're talking more about meat, from the ola that fell off the Mizbeach, we talked about the halacha of poking, right, if it fell off, then you put it back on, because it says, v'asita olotecha basar v'adam. But if a part of the animal flew off the Mizbeach, that was the gidim, the atzamot, the hooves, something that didn't necessarily need to be there in the first place, then you don't have to return it to the Mizbeach. Okay, this is what you were talking about. These are called ikule. That's different from, right, that's why I guess the assumption is, before that we were always talking about off the Mizbeach. Even if it's already burned, of course, but Right? Once it's already started burning, it's going to even be more likely we're going to keep it there. But here we're going to say, don't go back on. Rebbe Omer.
They can't go on?
Actually, that's a good question. So in a lot of these cases, there's a debate, okay, among the Mefarshim about when we say, Iyata machzir, does that mean you're not allowed to be machzir or you don't need to be machzir? So it's a very good question. And there's no good answer to it. And that machloket is a recurring machloket in many of these cases when it says, you know, you don't have to. Does that mean you don't have to or you can't? Okay? Because the Lashon Iyata machzir could read in both ways. You're not allowed to or you don't have to. So it's a good question. Rebbe Omer, so here comes why we brought this, to show that, again, maybe the Mishnah, or definitely at least the Braita, is Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe Omer, Katshuv Echad Omer V'Yiktir HaKohen Et HaKol HaMizbecha. Riba, that's a riboy, right? It includes everything. B'Katshuv Echad Omer V'Asita Olotecha Basar V'Adam Mi'et. There's a limitation, right? It's coming to say only the Basar and the Dam. Haketzad, how does this work out? Mechubarim ya'alu, if they're attached, then they go on the mizbech. Pirshu, but if they separated, afilu heim birosh mizbech, yerdu. Okay, even if they're at the top of the mizbech, you take them off. So that's Rebbe, which matches the Braita, or again, according to Rashi, it also matches the Mishnah. Okay, again, depending on how you read this, it's a debate about how this is quoted. Pirshu lo ya'alu, okay, the lashon of lo ya'alu is the lashon of the Braita. But some people change this himself to Pirshu Yerdu, which is the Mishnah. Okay, because remember, the Mishnah was only talking about, do they have to come off? It's the opposite. Pirshu Lo Ya'alu is the Mishnah. They don't have to go up, right? Or they can't go up, or right, depending on how you read it. But if you say Pirshu Yerdu, some people have the Nusach, you can look in the Masoret HaShas, it says Sarich Lomar Pirshu Yerdu, which means it's only referring to the Braita and not to the Mishnah. Okay, so that also depends on where you hold on this Machloket Rashi Tosfot. Amar Rabbi Zera, Lo Shanu Ela Shepershu Klapei Mata. And by the way, this sounds like it would be more likely that it's talking about the Braita, which is if it's Pershu, when it's Birosh Mizbeach, what did we say in the Braita? Then you're due. Okay, you have, what happens? You bring the animal to the top of the Mizbeach, it's all attached. While you're at the top of the Mizbeach, the hooves fall off. I'll take that as an example because it seems like the most likely. The hooves come detached from the... Oh, I don't know enough about animals to know if it would be so easily detached, but let's just say, okay, I can visualize it. The hooves fall off, okay, as opposed to a few hairs coming out of the beard of the goat, okay? The hooves come off, and then... also remember, they cut up the animal, so a bone falling out would be very likely also, and the hooves coming off. So if they separate... Barosh Mizbeach, even Barosh Mizbeach, of course, Lamata, they won't go up. If they're Barosh Mizbeach, you're due. They have to come down. So Rabbi Zera says, this is only if, when they detached, Pershu Klape Mata, they were kind of fell, or, you know, separated away from the Mizbeach. This is why it makes more sense that it's at the top of the Mizbeach, and it's talking about the Braita, because if it's the bottom of the Mizbeach, hard to visualize exactly what this means, klape mata, klape mala. We want to, you know, I mean, I guess you could just say closer or away from the mizbech. But here it seems more likely that we're on top of the mizbech and we're closer to the fire, right? So if it's pirshu, klape mata, away from the fire, then you're due. But aval klape mala, if it got closer to the fire, ki ruvehu de akrivu, li'ikul. Okay, so now they say, then we bring it closer to the fire. In other words, if it fell off and went closer to the fire, we actually burn it on the fire. So now the Gemara says, Vafilu Pirshu, but doesn't, again, the Mishnah or the Braita, either which one, say, Pirshu Yerdu, and as they separate. Once it separates, it shouldn't matter whether it gets closer or farther away from the fire. Right? It seemed pretty clear. Once they're a separate part, they don't go on the fire. Amar Rabba, hachi kamar. Rabba says this is what he meant to say. Lo shanu ela shepirshu. He's reinterpreting what Rabbi Zera says. Okay, Rabbi Zera seemed to say it's all about did it fall closer to the fire, then it gets burned with the fire, with the meat. If it went away from the fire, it doesn't. So Rabba says, no, that can't possibly be. Because it seemed very clear, once pirshu, lo ya'alu, right? The Mishnah said that very clear. It doesn't go up on the Mizbeach. So why would, you know, why would it matter if it got closer to the fire, away from the fire? So Rebbe says this is what he means to say. Lo shanu ela shepirshu la'achar zrika. Aval pirshu kodem zrika, atai zrika v'sharitinu, sharitinu, afilu l'mea b'minei kata desakina. Okay, let's explain. If they separated before zrika, what happens at zrika? At zrika, the meat becomes mutar to burn on the fire, if it's an ola, let's say, okay? Or mutar to people to eat, right? But let's say it's an ola. So before zrika, if they separated, then we're not going to put it on the mizbeach, because then there's the zrika is what allows us to put it on the mizbeach. So when the zrika happened, this was no longer attached to the animal. So it has nothing to do with the burning on the... It shouldn't be burnt on the fire because it's already detached from the animal. The zrika is what allows us to put it on the fire. So so if pirshula achar zrika... So here, let's read. So if... Sorry, let's start with before zrika. So aval pirshu kodem zrika... In other words, once the blood is sprinkled, then this is totally allowed for, one second, let me just make sure, because we're going to see the opposites. I want to make sure I'm not confusing the two opinions. Give me a minute. One second. If pirshu la'achar zrika,
it says if they separated before
right.
Zrika.
If they separated after zrika, then one second. At the time they became permitted, that's what happens. It becomes permitted through the zrika. At that point, they were still attached to the animal, and therefore could be offered with it. One second. So then if they separated before, they certainly shouldn't go up. Right. If they separate before, then of course they don't go up on the mizbeach, because the zrika, once the zrika happens, these can now be permitted even to make a handle of a knife. That's what this kata de sakina is. In other words, if they separate before zrika, then there's no kedusha to them at all, really. Once zrika happens, the zrika now permits the meat to go on the mizbeach, and anything they had separated from it before, you can do anything with. You can use it for any sort of purpose that you want.
There's no
me'ila. There's no me'ila at all, right. And if it happens after zrika, then... Wait, so then this halacha, in other words, I'm trying to figure out, the lo shanu is... Right, then they go up on the mizbeach with the animal, and if pirshu... No, but then we're trying to explain what pirshu... I see. Then we're saying... Okay, now I understand. Why did they need to tell us that if they separated afilu b'rosh mizbeach, lo ya'alu, in other words, or yerdu, you have to take them off? Because you would have thought that it is... Obviously, you don't need to say that halacha in the case where they separated before zrika. Because then you can do anything you want with them. The halacha is to tell you that even if they separated after the zrika, where they already became, technically speaking, ra'oi to be burned on the mizbeach. Because if they stayed attached, they would have gone on the mizbeach. So the halacha, the chidush that Rabbi Zeira is saying, that this is Rabbi's reinterpretation of Rabbi Zeira, is that what he's saying is this halacha applies only after the zrika. They separated, and even then you take them off the mizbeach. That's the chidush. Okay? Because, right, you would have thought maybe since they were already mukdash to go on the mizbeach, when the zrika happened, they were still attached, maybe they should be burned. The chidush is no. Since asita olotecha basar v'hadam, if they've separated, even at that later stage, you have to take them off. Okay? That's what he says, Rabbi Zeira is saying. Savar ki. Okay, so now that we're going to say he holds Savar la Rabbi holds ki hada amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Ishmael. Why? Where does he get this from? Because he holds like the halacha that Rabbi Yochanan passed down the name of Rabbi Ishmael. Ne'amar lo yihye ba'ola, v'ne'amar lo yihye ba'asham. Okay, here it goes. It says by the ola. V'hakohen ha-makriv et olat, olat ish, okay, a kohen that's makriv the olah of somebody, or ha-olah asher ekriv la-kohen lo yeh. The skin, remember that we have to do the hefshet and the nituach, we saw that at the end of Friday's daf, you take off the skin, and the skin, even though we burn everything, the skin goes to the kohen. And in the pasuk about the asham, it says, kachata ka'asham, torah achat lehem, ha-kohen asher yechat perbo lo yehiyeh. The chata and the asham are the same. That the kohen who does the avoda, it goes to him. So the lo yehiyeh, it's talking obviously in one case about the meat, in one case about the skin only, because the meat, obviously the ola gets entirely burned, but both use the same lashon of lo yehiyeh. So what is Rabbi Yishmael Darshan from this? Ma asham atzmotav mutarin, just like the bones of the asham are mutarim, in other words, it becomes useful for the kohen, which means there's no din of me'ila in it, he could use it for whatever purpose he wants. Af ola atzamot mutarim. Likewise, in the ola, if the atzamot get separated, the atzamot become mutar. Again, what does this prove? It's talking about the atzamot get separated before zrika. In that case, the atzamot will be mutarim, even though if they were attached, they would have been burned on the mizbeach, and they would have had a din of me'ila, but since they separate before, they're mutarim. Now, this is a bit of a strange gzeirah shava. Why? Because to say that we're going to learn from the bones of the asham to the bones of the ola is a strange thing. Because the asham, the meat, which the bones are attached to, gets eaten by the kohen. And in the ola, the meat all gets offered to the kohen. So how are we going to permit the bones of the ola from the bones of the asham? When the bones of the asham have, you assume the bones go with the meat is allowed to the asham and they're not allowed in the ola. So the Gemara is going to say, mufne. You have to say that this words, lo yehiyeh, we learned this a very long time ago, but there's a concept with gzeirah shava. What's a gzeirah shava? We take two locations where words are mentioned, either a word or a few words. In this case, it's two words in each place that are the same, and we say what's true for one is true for the other. Now, there's two ways you can have a gzeirah shava. One is where the words are used for something else, but you can also use them to make a gzeirah shava. That's called not mufne. Mufne means it's free, meaning those words are not needed for any other reason, in which case they're free to do a gzeirah shava. Now, when you have a gzeirah shava where they're not mufne, they're not free, then if you have a question on the gzeirah shava and something doesn't make sense, you can knock out the gzeirah shava. You can say, that doesn't make any sense, and since these psukim are not unnecessary, these words of the psukim are not unnecessary, we can't make the gzeirah shava, because we could say the words are used for something else. But when it's mufne, it's basically free and not being used for anything else, then even if you have a question on the gzeirah shava, you can't knock out the gzeirah shava. So they're saying, this must be mufne, it must be free, because ilo mufne, if those words weren't free, ikal mifrach, you could have knocked out the kal v'chomer and said, mala asham shekem b'saro mutar. You could say, the asham, the basar is mutar, and that's why the atzamot are mutarim. But the ola, whose basar is a mutar, maybe the atzamot wouldn't be mutarim. So therefore, you'd have to say that it's mufne. Lo yehiyeh yeter ktiv. So they're saying that lo yehiyeh is extra, and therefore it's mufne. Mativ Rav Ad Bar Ahava. Now Rav Ad Bar Ahava is going to question this. Atzamot kodashim, lifnei zrika moalim bahem, lachar zrika ein moalim bahem, v'shel ola moalim bahem la'olam. Okay, let's read this. He says, there's a braita that says, the bones of kodashim before zrika have a din of me'ila, but after zrika, there's no din of me'ila. This is on regular meat. Right? Regular meat, until you do the zrika, you can't eat the meat of, let's say, a shlamim or something. Then, after you do the zrika, all of a sudden the meat becomes mutar, and therefore also the atzamot become mutarim. But v'shel ola mo'alim bahem la'olam. But the atzamot of the ola are forbidden forever. Which seems to imply what? That the bones of the ola are always forbidden, even after zrika. We just said that the ola bones are permitted, based on the gzeirah shava of the asham. So what are the answer? Ema vishal ola. Now you have to explain like this. Pirshu lifnei zrika ein moalim bahem. If they separated before zrika, then there's no din of me'ila. Okay, in other words, before we're going to change this. Vishal ola moalim bahem lo'olam isn't so simple. It's not so clear cut. Vishal ola, it depends. If they separated from the meat before Zrika, then there's no dina me'ila. We saw that before, right? If they separate before, then they're not intending to go up on and be burned, and therefore ein me'ila. You can even make your handle of your knife. Lachar Zrika, but after Zrika, meaning if they separated after you do the Zrika dam, then what happens to them? Even if pirshu, right? Mo'alim behem la'olam, because at that point, they've been sanctified through the Zrika. When the Zrika happened, they were attached to the animal. So that means they have a din of me'ila. Okay? Now, you don't burn them, because they separated, but you can't use them for any reason. You can't make a knife out of them, a handle of a knife. Now we're going to say, but there's a different opinion. Upliga de Rabbi Elazar. Da'amar Rabbi Elazar, pirshu lifnei zrika mo'alim bahem. Lachar zrika lo nehenim velo mo'alim. Okay. He says the exact opposite, and again, there's two gersaot about whether there's our gersa, which says he disagrees entirely. He has the opposite opinions for both, where he disagrees on two things, which often we don't say. I'll just mention as an aside, the Tosfot thinks that there's a different nusach, and he only disagrees on one, and not on both. Okay, but let's just go with the gersa before us, which shows that he disagrees about both things. So he claims, if they separated before Zrika, okay, then you have a din of me'ila. Okay, and if he separates after Zrika, then you have this in-between where we call it Mi'ila Jarabana. Lo Nehenim, you can't get Hana'ah from it, but also Lo Mo'alim. Okay, and let me just remember the logic of this. So, he says, right, one second. So he says, if they separated before the sprinkling, one second, then they're just not, right, he says like this, if they separate before the sprinkling, what happens? The Zrika permits it, so to speak. But because you never had, because they were detached before the Zrika, okay, he says, right, Pershu lifnei Zrika, then the dam, the sprinkling of the blood didn't matir them because they were no longer connected to the meat. So the Zrika, in theory, could have matir the bones, but they don't because they weren't attached. Whereas if they're attached, then they become mutar because they're not really... They're part of it. So the Zrika matirs them. However, midrabanan, we say, you know, don't use them for anything. Okay. New Mishnah. V'kulan shepak'u me'al gabei ha'mizbeach lo yachzir. Okay, there's a bit of a debate what all these kulam is. Is it just the atzamot and the gidim and all those things? Or is it anything that we talked about that's disqualified, okay, to go on the mizbeach? And that's all the previous mishnayot where we had things that were disqualified. If they fell off the mizbeach, lo yachzir. Again, we have the debate. Like you said, Rashi says, look at lo yachzir and Rashi. If you have Rashi, ein tzarich lachzir. Okay, that was your answer, Judy. So Rashi says you don't need to. Some people say you're not allowed to. Okay, so again, it's a debate about what this means, lo yachzir. V'chein gachelet shepaka'a me'al gabei ha'mizbeach. If there was a coal that fell off the mizbeach, lo yachzir. Here it really sounds like you don't need to return it, because it shouldn't be like it's such an issue to return it. Evarim shepaka'u me'al gabei ha'mizbeach. Remember the Evarim? They get burned on the Mizbeach all night long. Now we're going to learn something interesting about this all night long. If they fell off the Mizbeach kodem chatzot, before midnight, yachzir, you put them back on the Mizbeach, umo'alim bahem, and there's a din of me'ila about them. But lahar chatzot, lo yachzir ve'ein mo'alim bahem. But after chatzot, then you don't have, if they fell off after chatzot, you don't have to return them to the mizbeach, and there's no din of me'ila. Okay, we're going to get into this a little bit more in the Gemara to understand better. Kishem shamizbeach mekadesh et hara'oilo, we saw this before, kach hakevesh mekadesh, just like the mizbeach sanctified. Now we're moving on to a different, within the same topic, but we're moving on to a new thing. Just like the mizbeach sanctifies all these disqualified items that we say, oh, once it went up, they don't go off, so also the ramp. And just like the ramp and the mizbeach and the ramp can do this, also klei sharet also sanctify things to the extent that if they went in and they were disqualified, they already have holiness to them. Okay, back to the beginning of the Mishnah, about the or the middle of the Mishnah, about the Evarim. Hechidami, what's the case of these Evarim? What state are they in that we're talking about that it depends whether it's before Chatzot or after Chatzot? Remember, if it's before Chatzot, then they stay. They have to put them back on the Mizbech. If it's after Chatzot, you don't have to put them on the Mizbech. And if it's before Chatzot, there's still a Din of Me'ilah. And if it's after Chatzot, there's no Din of Me'ilah. I de'ipahu mamash, if there's actually real, you know, meat on it, afilu lachar Chatzot nami. If there's still meat on it, it hasn't finished burning, then, even after Chatzot, of course you have to return it. There's still meat on it, right? We have to burn all the Evarim. Okay, they have to be burnt up. What happens to them usually? You burn them, and then what happens? They turn to ashes, and once they turn to ashes, then you do the Trumat Hadeshen. Remember, early in the morning, they take all the ashes out, they remove them. So if they still have meat on it, of course you have to put it back on the Mizbeach. Idelebu mamash, if there's no meat on it, afilu kodem Chatzot namilo. If there's no mamash on it, then even before Chatzot, then, right, if it's just ashes, you don't have to return it to the Mizbeach. There's a bit of a debate. Do we mean it's just ashes? Or are we not talking about ashes, really? We're talking about, you know, a little more than ashes. But let's say it's totally charred. Okay? Then also, you shouldn't have to put it back on, even if it's before Chatzot. So what's the answer? L'tzricha b'shrire. The answer is, what does Rashi say shrire are? Kashim, shenit kashum machmata esh, shoshota b'kulam v'nisrafu, ela shalon asu pacham, ela ke'itzim yiveshim he'mitocham. He says, it's like hard pieces, right? They're burnt, but they're not, so there's no meat on it anymore, but they're very hard. They haven't turned to ash yet. That's what we're talking about. So if they haven't turned to ash yet, then, and there are these hard pieces of meat, then if they went off before Chatzot, we put it back on. If it's after Chatzot, we leave them off. Where do we get this from? So Amarav, Katuv Chanomer, Kol Halayla Vehiktir, V'Katuv Chanomer, Kol Halayla Veherim. Okay, this is a bit false, you know, like false advertising, where you kind of say something, it's not exactly the way it is. So you have to understand the psukim. Okay, so look in the Torah Or, hopefully you have them both here. There are two psukim that are right next to each other. And the Kol Halayla they're using from one pasuk to the other. Okay, the Kol Halayla appears only once. Says like this: Savat Aaron ve'banav lemor, it's vayikra vav bet and gimel. Zot Torah ta'olah hiya olah mavdal mizbeach. Right, this is our pasuk we keep going back to. This is where we see that the mizbeach, right, if you put it on the mizbeach, again, whether it's just things for oily ishim, al mokda or al mizbeach, anything that's ready to go on the mizbeach. Right, that's where we learned it from. So hiya olah mokda. Here we're talking about fire. Okay, because it never says in the pasuk v'hiktir. I want to point that out. It says the Rav says katuv chadomer kol alayla v'hiktir, and one pasuk says kol alayla v'herim. But that's not exactly what it says in the pasuk. Hiktir means to burn. So what does it mean? It says hi ha'olam mokda al mizbeach, meaning it has to be burned on the mizbeach. That's the haktara part. And then it says kol halayla ad haboker, all night till the morning. Okay, so and the fire should be burning on it. So there you have the Kol HaLayla v'hiktir. And the next pasuk says, V'lavash ha-kohen mid'obad u'mechnesei bad yobash ha-bsaro, v'heirim et ha-deshan asher tochal ha-esh et ha-ola ha-mizbech v'samo etz ha-mizbech. Then he does the Trumat HaDeshen. Now it doesn't give you a time for doing this, but they're assuming that the Kol HaLayla also refers to the Haramat HaDeshen. This is why it's a bit of a stretch I wanted to show you, because it makes it sound like, when Rav says it, it says Kol HaLayla next to Iktir, and it says Kol HaLayla next to Herim. It's not really true. It just says Kol HaLayla in the first pasuk about the burning, and then the assumption is when it says Veherim, it's also referring to Kol HaLayla. Okay, that all night also, so they're basically saying, what's the problem? It says all night you burn, and all night you can take the ashes off. How can you take the ashes off all night if you have to burn it first, right? And how does this work out? So how does he explain this? Chilkehu, split it in half the night. Chetzio lahaktara v'chetzio laharama. The first part of the night is for burning, and the second part of the night is for taking off the ashes. And that's where they're saying this is the source for our halacha that we said, that how do we explain the Mishnah? If it fell off in the first half of the night, since the first half of the night is meant for burning, then you put it back on. Since the second half of the night is meant for taking the ashes off, then already, once it comes off, you don't have to put it back on, even if what happens, and there's a bit of a debate here among the Mefarshim about whether the Shrirei, it's also turned to, and it's whether you sweep it up with the Deshen also, or whether we say, no, it's not really, it hasn't turned to ashes, so you're not going to take ashes from there, you're just going to have to remove it from the Beit HaMikdash at some point in some kind of way, but not that it goes with the ashes. So that's what he says. Half the night is for burning, half the night is for harama, and that's where we get our source from. Mativ Rav Kahana, but Rav Kahana says if that's what you're going to say, okay, that basically the cutoff point is chatzav. Now what do we know? We know zrizim makdimim lemitzvot. So if that's the case, when should the truma deshen be? At chatzav, right? You would think 12, 12:01, 12:02, right? Yafeh. They do it first thing in the morning, but not in the morning, but before. Remember, they do it at alot hashachar, right?
The first thing that
they exactly do. The very first thing they do is that, but the very first thing early in the morning, not by chatzot. So now we're going to see, not only that, but there's other times where we do it, we're going to see. Okay, so Matav Rav Kahana says, Bechol, here he brings a source. Bechol yom torem et hamizbeach. Every day, when do we do the Trumat HaDeshen? Mikro tagever, osa muchlo, milfanav o meacharav. Right, you either do it at the kro tagever, when the rooster crows, okay, at alot hashachar, or before it a little bit, or after it, meaning it doesn't exactly have a particular time, but even if it does, the time kind of revolves around early morning. B'yom HaKippurim, when do you do it? B'chatzot, okay? Dafka, then you do it at chatzot. B'regalim, here comes more of a problem even. B'ashmoret HaRishona, the night is split into three ashmorot, okay, which means three. Generally, we say a day has 12 hours, though it's Sha'ot Zmanio, right? Because when we talk about midnight, we talk about exactly the middle, not necessarily what we call midnight, 12 o'clock, right? It'll be the middle of this 12-hour period. So here we're now saying, on the Regalim, when do we do the Trumat HaDeshen? After 4 hours into the night, only a third of the way into the night, which means that according to our source, what did we say? It's from Chatzot is the time of, according to Rav, from Chatzot is Trumat HaDeshen. So how could you do it at the Ashmora Rishona? So v'isakadatach mechatzot, and if you think it's mechatzot deoraita, mido oraita, how do you know it's mido oraita? Because he took it from the pasuk, kol alayla v'yitir, kol alayla v'yirim. He says that's halacha mido oraita. It's saying the first half of the night is for burning, the second half of the night is for cleaning out the ashes. So hechi machdiminan, and now some people have this nosach, some people don't, but hechi machrinan. Is the question really just on the regalim? How do we do it so early? Or is the question even on why do we do it so late on a daily basis if zrizim machdimin limits both? We should do it earlier on. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mimashma shene'emar kol alayla, eini yodea sha'ad haboker. It's because it says, you could notice the wording in the pasuk is a little weird. Kol halayla, it says, ad haboker. So if I already said kol alayla, don't we know whenever it says kol alayla, it means ad haboker. So why does it say ad haboker? Matamud lomar ad boker. Tein boker libkaro shel layla. What does that mean? Okay, there's a few different ways of interpreting it, but I'll give you one of them. It means the time that it should be the morning of the night, meaning the last part of the night. Okay? In other words, the ideal time they get from the wording of kol alayla ad boker, it's true that it could be from chatzot, but instead of saying zrizim makdim, in this case, we'd rather you do it close to the morning. Okay? The end of the night. Hilkach kol yoma mikrota gever sagi. Okay? That's why every day we do it a krota gever. Now we're going to have to explain if the mitzvah is kol alayla, right, Tame boker libkarosha laila, then what about Yom Kippur and what about the regalim? Why do we start early? You know, we started with the second half of the night is right away for the Trumat HaDeshen. Then we said, well, it's true, but ideally you should do it because of the wording of the pasuk. Ideally it should be at the end of the night. So why do we do it on these other days? So each one has its own reason. B'yom HaKippurim mishum chulsha de kohen gadol. We're worried about saving his energy, right? So we don't want to make him do everything. Right, we'd rather kind of...
He does that? No, some of the other
Kohanim? I think he does that. I think all the Avodah, yeah. I think he does the Trumat HaDeshen that night, no? Not regularly, no. But on Yom HaKippurim, mm-hmm. I assume he does based on this, and I seem to remember. So everything is on the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. So therefore, we want to do this early so that he, you know, he doesn't have to do everything one after the other. B'rigalim... Denefishe korbanot, okay, here we go back to, we always talk about this, but the Gemara rarely references this, but when there's so many sacrifices they have to do on the regalim, So what do we say? Demikad me'atu Yisrael me'ashmoret rishona. Sorry. Denefisha korbano demikadme demikadme. So we read this, right? Denefisha korbano dekadme atu Yisrael me'ashmoret rishona. No, sorry. Read it like this. Nefisha korbano, why? Dekadme atu Yisrael, because the people come early, therefore, it's missing a few words here, we do it me'ashmoret rishona. Okay, therefore we do the Truma Deshen early, because what's going to happen? Kedekatani Seifa, like it says in the end of that source, Lo Aita Kriyata Gever Magat Ad Shaita Azara Melea Yisrael. By the time of Krota Gever, that early stage of the morning, the Azara was already full of people. Now think about it. If it's full of people, how are you going to carry out the Deshen, right? Try to get through a massive crowd. It's going to be very difficult. It might fall, it might spill, right? You might have an issue. And therefore, in the regalim, they would start very early. Some people say that the issue is that. Some people say the issue is that there's also a lot more ashes to take out because there's so much more burning of sacrifices that there's a lot more ashes.
You need to start the job soon.
And what'd you say?
You need to start the job soon.
Exactly. So that's why they do it early. Okay.